Guess I don't have to dismiss the children. There they go. That's great. Just a little different from what Pastor Michael says every week. My name's Andy. I am not the pastor here at First Baptist Elba, but it's still great to see you. Just a word of advice. If you ever have to share in church or teach a Sunday school class or anything and you have to speak and read something, don't clean your glasses with a tissue that has lotion in it before you get up here. They're supposed to be bifocals. I'm supposed to be able to see. No, I'm just kidding. I tried to get it off as best as I could. I was like, why is this so cloudy? Oh, no. So I tried to run in the back and clean them again, but it'll be fine. If not, we're going to blame it on that. But today, no, it's my pleasure, my privilege to be able to share with you today just for a few minutes. I've had the opportunity a few times through the years to do that, and I'm glad to do that again today. The first slide that you'll see, just the title of this message, it's really in two parts, and I'm calling it today just Distance and Light. And you can see some light bulbs hanging there. I actually stole this slideshow from my school principal. She uses this for all of our faculty meetings. I kind of like it. It's kind of bright and friendly on Wednesday mornings. And then you see robots there. Robots are something that I enjoy teaching about a lot. I do a lot with robotics in school. I think the applications to our lives as human beings, there are so many teachable moments with robotics where I can get into spiritual things in school with kids not even knowing about it. It's really, really neat. So Distance and Light today. Our key verse here on the next screen is going to be John 8:12, which says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So I'd like to introduce you. I brought a few friends of mine from school today. They're very small, but they're very, very cool. And they are called cubelets. And as you might imagine, they're all a cube shape. But what these are modular robotics cubes. They look like cool little building cubes you'd have in your nursery or maybe something out back in church. But these are, number one, really expensive. But number two, really, really neat inside. I've had to open a couple up before, full of sensors and wires. And they all have a specific job, which is related to their color. They all have a function. So we talk a lot in school about systems. It's one of our big science standards. It's about systems and how parts can come together as a system, as a whole, to do more than they could individually. Sounds a lot like a spiritual application there to me. So that's just one of the things I get to teach about. But the cubelets, and on their own, they're not really extraordinary. For example, this bluish-gray one, it's the only one that's this color. This is just a rechargeable battery. That's all it does. It's a battery. Sits there by itself. And by itself, not very extraordinary. It needs something else. Or else its purpose, it provides power, very important. But alone, it doesn't make a complete system. And there's a magic number. The magic number to create any robot out of these is 3. You've got to have a power source. That makes sense. You have to have a black sense cube. So we reinforce the senses of our human body, sight and sound, and you've got taste and touch and smell. I read somewhere that smell is actually our strongest sense memory, even stronger than sight and sound. So when you smell something and it triggers, you know what that smell is from. I have some that trigger memories, and like, oh my gosh, takes you right back to a place. Maybe it's something a family member used to cook in the kitchen or something. So they all have a job. None of these robots can smell, just tell you that. But they can sense temperature. They can sense sound. Some of them can sense. This one looks like, we always talk with the little kids at school, this looks like what? Well, eyeballs. It's hard to see because they're black. But these are sensors for sight. This one they always think is an eyeball. Actually, is sort of an eyeball that works like the human eyeball, but that's got a different purpose we'll talk about. And then you get into all of these clear cubes, which are your action. So they're the resulting action. So you've got sense cubes. They take in information. We talk a lot about input. You push a key on your keyboard. It's not an A. The computer just knows that it wants information. You press the key A. The computer processes it out on your screen comes a series of pixels that we call A as a symbol. That's all it is. It's just a bunch of code. So these are waiting for information to pass through. So you get a sense cube, you have a battery, and you might... Oh, and the cool thing is they're magnetic. So do you think these magnets are super strong when you're working with kindergartners? No, so where do we build? On the floor. Because, I mean, this one right here is about $40, believe it or not. So these are not cheap to buy a case of them. It's a lot of money. So we build on the floor. They work off a magnetic principle. There's an outer circle. That is the ground. Every electrical system has to have a ground to complete a circuit, a path. There's a small inner circle. That's how they talk to each other. It's really cool. And then there's a small little pin in the middle. That's where the signal gets sent between them. And the way that you arrange them and the number that you use, you can do, I mean, it's truly amazing what you can do with these. So we talk a lot about that. Now, if I built a simple robot out of, let's say, oh, I don't know. Let's just use, let's use this guy. This is a rotate. This is, or the kids call it the spinny one. Okay? There's official names, but they make up their own names. So if I turn this on, you can see a series of flashing green lights. Okay? They're talking to each other, and they're trying to work together. So as this one sees information like my hand, it starts to respond. I'm not touching it or doing anything. You can even hear it. So there's information coming in here going directly output, input, output. There's no processing going on. It's just straight information. There's a value. That value or number is sent to here, and it does what it's told. So there's something missing in there that I think is really, really important for us, and that is the second one in the middle up on the screen, the think, the processing. What do I do with information I'm taking in? And that could be anything. We talk about computers. We talk about robotics. But what is it for us as a believer? If you're a believer here today, Jesus is your Savior. You're reading the Bible. You're hearing a message. What does that mean for you today? Is that information coming in and then just flowing? Is there an action? Is it coming in and just being stuck? Is it just this information not connected to a system? Do you have power but no resulting action? This is a worthless robot. This will do absolutely nothing. Looks really cool. I can put this one on top. Now I have some kind of result, but we're missing something. We're missing the process. So you might be presented with God's truth today. Have you made a decision? Have you processed it? Have you made a faith decision with that? If so, then what's the resulting action? So we're going to talk about that. The great news is, on the next screen, you are not a robot, okay? You're not an automaton, as they say. We're not the big arm at Amazon that lifts up pallets of things up, over, down, all day long, up, over, down. You should look those up. They have robots at Amazon distribution centers that follow a grid on the floor. They can lift 800 pounds, and you stand still. The robot lifts the rack it needs. I mean, and they're four-sided, has everything that you need. I don't know who arranges the racks, how they, like this might be a thing for your kitchen, and over here is an action figure for your child. And these will go get the thing, go get the rack, drive it, not hit any of the others, bring it to you, spin it, park it, and you just do this. Take it, put it in a box. So the people don't move anymore. The robots move. And they have very few accidents because it's all sensors in the floor and wires in the floor and electromagnetic current. It's insane. So check that out sometimes. The good news is, though, we're not a robot. We made them. I always tell my students, who do you think made the robot? And they're like, well, we did. Exactly. Exactly. So what do we have that makes us unique, that makes us special? Well, we're created by God. We have eternal souls. This is just plastic and metal and some magnets and some tiny little LEDs, some of them have. But we're not controlled by a stimuli. We're not controlled by an algorithm of predetermined steps. It says, do this, and go. We're not welding a car in a factory like these robots, which are really amazing, but they were made by someone. So the think blocks, like we talked about, how can they change that resulting action? The truth that we take in, God's word, the gospel message, God's love for us. What do we do with that? What flows out? There's the input. We're processing it. We have to process it. But what happens? Does it get stuck? I hope not. So the distance in light comes in. Light especially fascinates me. But then I got into this. This is called the distance sensor. My students and teachers, I have aides come in. They're blown away by this thing because I can control every robot in the classroom by turning the lights off in my room. And the adult's like, what happened? And I turn it back on. They start running around the room. Then I turn the lights off. There's a reason why, but they're fascinated by this distance one. When you tell a student, we're going to create a system today, a robot, that you can control by not touching it. They're like, how in the world is that possible? Well, I'm going to show you today with some spiritual applications. And Bruce, I know you want to come. And Pam said, yes, an object lesson. Pam Gefell is all excited today. You want to come play. I don't use the word play in my classroom, especially with expensive things. But if you want to come check these out later, the kids want to check them out, they're really, really cool. So distance up first. Let's talk about, this is one, am I a follower or am I afraid? So a little play on words there. There's two robots that you can make with these. We do follow bots and we do fraidy bots. And it all depends on the orientation of the cubelet, the robot, and the information it's getting. So John 10, 1 through 5, you can see it up here. I have to turn around. It didn't print in my notes. I was having trouble today. But truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So that would look like this. You have your distance bot, you have your battery, and you have this one. Got some little cool wheels on there. That's the drivey one, as the kindergartners call it. But we'll take it. We'll take it. It's a roll bot. It's fine. But you can tell on this one, let me see if I can get it to go the way I want. We can orient this cube this way. And let's say we've never heard of God's love. Set it right there. You can see they're talking to each other. They're flashing and blinking, waiting for input. And you come along with, we're presented with the truth in God's word. We're presented. And sometimes people, it freaks us out. Like, whoa, that's too much for me to handle. Or we may come to a point where we feel God is far away. Well, is God really far away ever? But we come up, we approach, God's trying to approach us, look what's happening. I'm not even touching it. But this distance sensor is saying, whoa, you're coming at me with some input, and I am out of here. I am running away, okay? So these are running away. So you tell kids, they think they're doing magic, and woo, you know, touch the robot. But that's a fraidy bot. That's someone, that's me maybe running away from the Lord. But all you have to do, you know how they say just turn around, go the opposite direction? You turn this around, and kids figure this out eventually, but you reorient that block, and suddenly, you are a follower. You're a follow bot. And they love this one, because they love to go, come here, kitty, and they're like, come here. And it follows them all around. So it's the same input. It's processing. Okay, and it's resulting action just by reorienting the feet or the wheels is completely different. Now, in Romans 8, so maybe that is the example of the shepherd calling the sheep, and you know the Lord's voice and you're following him. Romans 8, 38, 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. That distance, we know the Lord, that distance is never too great. You cannot be separated. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. We will get to the final two verses of this section later, but these first four. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. There's more on that section, as I said, a little bit later. We'll look at verses 11 and 12. So you can see there, the distance is never, never too great. We know if we're presented with God's love, we can make a choice. Am I going to be a fraidy bot, Or am I going to be a follower, a follow bot? And again, not a robot, but am I going to be afraid or am I going to follow? If I hear his voice, do I know his voice? Am I willing to trust him to follow him as our great and our good shepherd? Okay? So distance, that's one thing. We talk a lot. I like to start with this cubelet, with this block with my students, just because, yeah, it's cool to use, and they just love the whole I don't have to touch it thing. But we talk about that. And we'll get to some of these think blocks in a little bit. But then we get into the section that I really enjoy learning about and reading about. It's fascinating to me that God created light. And just to study it, I don't take science and what we learn in our faith and separate them a lot, because our faith explains the science. Science is just making sense of what's around us. We have God's word that explains all of it. And you make those connections and you say, this is why this discovery in science, this is why this is being revealed to us. It's right there. So the duality of light, the quantum theory, okay, this isn't, I'm not talking about Marvel and time travel and Back to the Future, but you hear quantum a lot. You're like, all right, what is that? Well, a lot of us know Albert Einstein, but it actually goes way back to like the 1600s. But you say quantum theory says light is a particle and it's a wave. And if you know anything about light energy, for a long, long time, since 1600, they said light is a wave. And waves act in the hills and the valleys, the troughs, and up and down. And the wavelength can be tight, it can be wide. That affects everything like our electromagnetic spectrum. We'll talk about that in a second. And then along came Isaac Newton, who is not just an amazing scientist and mathematician, he was a theologian. If you want to do just some amazing reading, look up his work with light and his study of optics. He said, hold on, the characteristics of light, the way it behaves, it must also be a particle. It must be something. And then along came some other smart people, and they did experiments, and they bombarded metal with light at different frequencies, and they noticed that, yes, light is a particle. Newton was discovering, he didn't know it yet, he had a funny name, corpuscles and things, but he discovered the photon, he just didn't know it, and other people had to take his work. But they bombard metal, and an electron can be released from the metal, so something's happening with kinetic energy. Like you hit a baseball, you know when you catch it in your glove, it's a particle which has kinetic energy, you feel that. Same kind of thing, except the particles are so small. So Albert Einstein said, well, wait a second, both of these have been proven to be true. So it's actually a particle that has wave-like characteristics. And that gets into everything from diffraction, and you get into wave patterns like throwing a stone in a pond, and you get the ripples, and they did all these simple experiments that prove that both of these are true. But that can be very confusing. What do you mean it's both? It acts as a wave, but it's also a particle. Well, that's the duality of light. So then we have another duality of light. We have the duality of physical light, and we have the duality, we have spiritual light. Physical light we have to have. We have to have for life. I mean, if we did not have physical light on this earth, think of the repercussions just in the lives of plants, let alone think of our own health in sunlight, the benefits of vitamin production and things. So physical light, have to have it. Spiritual light as well. You think about physical light just for one second. I want to back up. How many of you are wearing a diamond right now? Do you know why a diamond sparkles? I did not know this till a couple weeks ago. Light, what we have, travels at 186,282.4 miles per second. The light we have here, visible light. And that's in a vacuum, so no air. But in a diamond, it slows down to only a mere 77,000 miles per second, because diamonds are so dense, it gets caught in a maze of refraction, and it's lost. And that's why your diamond sparkles, because that light is just bouncing, bouncing, bouncing at 77,000 miles per second. I think that's fantastic. The visible light that we see, like colors when it's split, like why is Bruce's shirt that color? Because that's the only color being reflected right now that our eye can see, just like these guys. That Did you know that that's 1/10 billionth of the entire spectrum? So everything from infrared to ultraviolet on the other side. And goldfish, the way God made goldfish, they can see infrared radiation that we can't see. Isn't that wild? Like they can see that whole, you know, heat spectrum thing. And bees, birds, and some lizards can pick up ultraviolet light that we can't see. That's wild. How do they know this? How do they test that? So you have all this fantastic information about physical light that God made. But look at this question. Spiritual light. Am I in the light? So it's changed to a darker background. But 1 John 1:5-9 says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So with these robot blocks here, probably the one I would say the kids love the most is to make this combination, because you can make a gigantic robot with these. But there's a flashlight cube, and these are the ones that fail. They like to fail a lot. So I tell the kids, if it's not working, you just change, go to a different magnet. It's just a little pin for information. But they love to put it on the spinny one, and they love to turn it like they're not supposed to, without power, because it is a geared system. And then there's a brightness cube. This one is like our eye, right? Our body is an amazing system. Look at the way God created us. If the lights are too bright, what do? We squint. We try to limit in the amount of light energy coming into our eyeball, okay? If the lights are too dim, what does our pupil do? Opens wide. It's crazy, but it opens wide to try to find more light. Okay, cat's eyes are different than ours. They can see so much better in the dark than we can. So if you look at this, you make a robot like this, and remember, you've got to have power, and you turn this on. See what I mean? I told you it's going to give me trouble today. Let me try another one. That's why you always bring a backup. As my science associate says. But you see here, this eye is picking up light from the lamps and some of the ambient light from outside. What good is this right now? Does a ship need a lighthouse and when it's light outside? Do we need a flashlight when the lights are on? It's kind of pointless, isn't it? But it's really cool to play with in the classroom, because then I turn the lights off and they all go off. And the kids are like, what did you do? They turn the lights back on, they go on. Then they realize that they can limit the information, they can slow it down. Then we have a lot of fun with who can make it go the slowest while it's still moving. But it's a system still talking to each other. But what good is that? What good is that? If I'm in the light, if I know Christ, I'm shining the light in the world. Yes, but do healthy people go to the hospital? We always talk about that in church. No, we should want sick people to come to Christ. I should be bringing my light out into the darkness. So how do you do that with this robot, Mr. Ham? All the kids say, well, there's something here which can get us into trouble at times, but this red one is called the inverse. Okay, inverse is not really reverse. It sort of means like multiplication and division are inverse operations. If you put this one in between the sense block and the action block, it will then do the resulting opposite action, okay? Now, when it's dark, look at the flashlight. It's going crazy. So now in the darkness, this is the light that I want to bring, okay? It's taking the input, and it's saying, wait a minute, I know what I need to do, and it's flipping the data, actually. So again, it's all numbers and code, but it's flipping that data, and now it's shining its light. Or, if you don't want the... You don't want the little rotate guy, okay? So now I have a flashlight to bring in the dark, okay? Which is really cool, fun to play with. So I can leave those there, take that to the battery for a little bit. But if I'm in the light, John 8:12, okay? That's a repeat of our first verse. When Jesus spoke again, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, there's the distance. If you follow me, don't be afraid. follow me. You'll never walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. Okay, so what do I do with it? That next slide. If I'm in the light, am I shining the light? That's why I picked that hymn today. Send the light, the gospel light. But am I shining it? Like that person there, a cool graphic that I used, holding a light bulb. Am I shining it or am I hiding it? The song, This Little Light of Mine, right? That was written in, 1920? But This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Who grew up singing that? Right? There's a lot of theories where the song came from. It's an appropriate song, but hide it under a bushel? What was the answer? No, I'm going to let it shine. So are you going to be in the light and then stop the information? You're going to take it in and you're going to process it and then that's it and sit on this? You're just going to hide this thing and just say, oh, I don't have one of those cubits. I don't know what you're talking about. Or are you going to use it? Are you going to take it and take it into the darkness or just keep it and turn it on in the light and just stay and say, my pretty flashlight, my faith is mine. I'm just going to keep it in my little box here. So am I shining the light, this little light of mine? Well, let's look at the rest of the Psalm passage from earlier. Psalm 139, the next two verses, 11 and 12 say, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. The darkness, you've heard this a million times. You light a candle in a dark room. What does the darkness have to do? It has to flee. It is dispelled. It cannot occupy that same space as the light energy. It can't. It can't. Darkness can't do that to light. People say, what about black holes? That's dark. That's a whole other science thing you can read on your own. Not the same application. Okay, black holes and things are fascinating. Again, part of God's design. They don't swallow light energy. There's a whole other thing going on there. But you say, am I in the light? Am I shining the light? The night is bright as the day. Darkness is as light with you. Here's some more verses about light. I think Psalm 18 is our next one. We have three up there. Psalm 18:28. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. That's this. I mean, where is your energy source coming from? Right? Hopefully you don't put your trust in, rechargeable batteries. These things fail me. I forget to plug them in. Whoops. And the students are like, what do you mean we have to share today? You know, hey, give me a break. I forgot to plug, six of them in last night. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There it is. The light shines in the darkness. Darkness has to flee. It cannot overcome. And then Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay? Here's some more verses coming up. I think we have two more. 1 Peter 2:9. You see it right there. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That could be our story. He's called me out of darkness into his light, for sure. Doing my best every day. But am I then sharing that for all the people around me? I know it's not easy. I work with a lot of people. I'm not perfect. I work with a lot of people that need to be called out of darkness. We come into contact. We need that every day. Lord, keep me out of darkness. Bring me back into your light again. And then look at this last one. I love, this is a portion, Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were darkness. Oh, man, that's a whole language arts lesson there. Look at that, right, Paul? Look at that verb, were, not you were in, like, oh, I'm in the darkness, I'm in a dark room. You were darkness, like you embodied that. But now you are what? Light in the Lord. And then there's a command, walk as children of light. So it's not, well, you're darkness and now you're light and you're good. No, there's a command. There's always a command. Walk as children of light. Walk like this. You want to spin that light all around, shine it all around. Maybe just take it in one direction, like a flashlight for now. That's up to you. What do you do? There has to be that output, that resulting action from the faith that we decide to, that we make a decision for. I think the next thing up here is a quote. Yes, Sir Isaac Newton. Check this out. This is him in his own words. He says, atheism is so senseless. When I look at the solar system, I thought it was really cool Steve put the solar system slide up for today for one of the praise songs. I love when that happens. When I look at the solar system, I see the Earth at the right distance from the sun to receive the proper amounts of heat and light. This did not happen by chance. Now, Isaac Newton didn't have all of the measuring tools that we have now today. They have mirrors on the moon that they shoot lasers at, and they can tell the moon is moving about an inch and a half away from Earth every year, about an inch and a half. Isn't that crazy? He didn't have that, but they knew that the relationship of God's design, creation, was perfect. If we were a fraction closer to the sun, or the moon was closer to us, it would be absolute chaos. Nothing could survive. It just would fail, the system. But it's absolutely perfect. That's God's design. So there's the word distance. There's light. Isaac Newton knew. Again, he was a theologian in addition to a mathematician and a scientist. So maybe you didn't like that one. Maybe you didn't like that quote about God. I found another one which is just, for me, really, really funny. He said, it's not going to come up on the screen, but he also said, in the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. And that went funny. And I injured my thumb this week, and I thought, oh, Lord, you're funny. So he knew that it was designed. Because think, if you didn't have that thumb, you know, I'm trying to lift like sheets of board and plywood. I'm like, man, this is really hard to do. The thumb is amazing, an amazing part of our human body system. So anyway, let's put it together. We're going to close. John 8:12 again says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. That's his state of being, who he is. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay? Matthew 15:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Think of that brightness cube up high. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. No. I'm going to let it shine. But on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So be that following person that when Jesus says come or go, all these command words, follow him. Don't overthink it. Don't get in your own way. There is a there is one, I call it the naughty cube in the box, this one. This one's great. Kermit the Frog, we call it. This one's fantastic. This one really does nothing. It just lets information flow through it. Let your robots be bigger. This kids love that one. This one, though, the dark green, this is the blocker. So we talk about football and blocking. This one blocks any signal trying to get to the resulting action cube. It can be helpful when you're trying to make a robot with multiple parts, but it can also be very, very destructive because nothing can get through there. So don't park this one in the middle of the equation. So you've got all this light coming in, and then you throw this green one in there, and you've got your light cube. Nothing is going to happen. Sit, overthink it and process it and confuse yourself. God's word, the message of hope and salvation is simple. See, they're talking to each other, but this one is saying, nope, not today. I'm not going to shine my light because I'm not even going to let that message through. I'm not even going to think about it or believe it. I'm going to block it. So let's not do that. Pastor Michael has been talking through the book of James. Matt as well shared from the book of James the other day about faith without works. Again, we are light. We are told to be light. So don't be the blocker. If we close our eyes to light, we can't see, right? Can't see. Kids think they're invisible when they do this. It's really funny. But if we close our eyes, we can't see. If you cover that brightness, your eye of faith, there's going to be no light. If we walk in darkness without light, we stub our toe, we stumble. If we disconnect from the power source, if we disconnect from the Lord, we do nothing. If we only receive power and input, but no action, we do nothing. Okay, we're not complete. So just to close, really where all this inspiration came from the Lord, was a few weeks ago. And then I like to go back to music I grew up with from time to time. And it could be anything. And recently I started playing through all the old DC Talk albums from like 1989, 1992, 1996, going through. And there's a song that they redid in the mid-90s for the thoughts, the reflections, the verses that you brought to my mind, that they're from you, they're from your word, and that they are absolute truth. Thank you for the study of the light of Jesus, the light of the world. Lord, we can do nothing without him. Salvation, there is no salvation without his sacrifice. God, I thank you for loving us. Thank you that just through a simple object lesson, we can take something today. Lord, whether it's the information, the message of truth of your love that we receive, that we take in, the brightness of your light, that we have the opportunity to make a faith decision. God, that's us processing the love you have, coming to that place of saving faith. And then God, the resulting, the action that from the love we take in, what does that mean? How are we showing that to the world? Shining our light. Maybe it's the wheels. Maybe we have to go somewhere and bring the light. Lord, maybe it's where we are and we are just shining it all around like we looked at. But God, help us to not keep our distance from you. Help us to be followers, not to be afraid. And help us to be in the light and help us to take the light. God, in that verse, you called us. We are children of light. We are light now, not darkness. Thank you for calling us out. Lord, if there's someone here who still feels in darkness, doesn't have that spiritual light of salvation, pray that today could be the day. That it's simple. Again, it's just admitting that I'm a sinner. It's believing that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself, died, was buried, and rose again. Okay, confessing daily, talking to you, saying we're not perfect by no stretch of our imagination, but Lord, you love us. You love us in spite of ourselves. You love us just the way we are, and that it's a daily following. Thank you for closing that distance, that gap, that chasm that sin presented in death. Thank you for conquering it all. Thank you for giving us the road to follow you. Thank you for Jesus, our light. And in all these things, bless your people today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just